I often find when you're asking for guidance on what to speak about, an ex-WCG minister or somebody from the old congregation will very helpfully provide a topic and a framework for you. And lo and behold, on Good Friday, the following status popped up on my Facebook page from an ex-minister from WCG. I was tempted to reply. I was very good. I showed restraint. I just unfriended him instead. Not after I had cut and pasted his Facebook post, which read, "Friday before the Sabbath, the stone is rolled in front of the tomb. It's dark inside. Jesus is asleep. The women are preparing the spices and rest on the Sabbath. The Roman soldier guards the grave site, and the angel blinds him and says to the woman, 'He is not here, he is risen.'" Once you get your head round exactly what he is actually saying, there remains the age-old question which just keeps on getting in the way of traditional Christianity and the Good Friday Easter Sunday. If you turn, please, to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And we'll start in verse 38, when the Pharisees are asking for a sign in order for Christ to prove who he was. And in verse 38, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" The Pharisees were demanding a sign. "We want for Christ to prove he was the Messiah." And Christ said that the only sign that he would give that he was the Messiah was that sign of Jonah, that the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. For those that want a title for the sermonette, 3 days and three nights, quite simple. Today, I just want to look at how long Christ was actually in the grave for. So, Jonah was sent by God to be the saviour of the people of Nineveh. He was in the belly of the whale, symbolically in the grave, as it says in Jonah 1. So we'll turn to Jonah 1 while we're turning there. And he was in the belly of the whale, or the giant fish, for 3 days and three nights, symbolically dead. And he was resurrected when the fish vomited him up onto the shores of Nineveh. So, in verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." The word for days in Jonah 1:17 is Strong's number 03117, yom. Its definition is day, time or year, day as opposed to night, and day, 24-hour period, as defined by evening and morning in Genesis 1. Remember that one, because we're going to reference that later. Or as a division of time. And the word for night is Strong's number 03915. Layil, excuse any pronunciation. Its definition is night, as opposed to day, or of gloom, protective shadow. So in the phrase 3 days and three nights that Jonah is specifically in the belly of the whale, it means 3 days as opposed to nights and three nights as opposed to day, totaling 72 hours. And in Genesis 1, don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 1 verses 4 and 5, when God divided the light from the darkness, he called the light day and the darkness he called night. And when you combine day and night together as a collective, they are also known as a day, because it says, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." So that's where that definition of the 24-hour time period can be assigned to a day. So God clearly sets out day and night distinct and separate, but when combined as a 24-hour unit can also be called day. So going back to the original framework for the sermonette, Friday he is buried, and then he rises on a Sunday. So here we have a Friday night, a Saturday night. The philosophers argue that the word day, as we've just read, can also mean a part of a day period. And that he was buried on the Friday just before sunset, so therefore we can count that portion of the Friday as a day. And he rose on the Sunday, so we have to count that portion of Sunday as a day. So let's work with that again, shall we? So we've got a day, Friday. We have a Friday night. We have a Saturday. We have a Saturday night. We have a Sunday. We have 3 days and two nights. And only a very small part of two of those are days. So Christ's sign was that of Jonah. Christ came to the earth to be the saviour for all of mankind, and the only sign that he gave, which he staked his whole messiahship on, was that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, a full 72 hours in the grave. But can we be sure that it had to be a full 72 hours? Because as the philosophers claim, 3 days is from Friday to Sunday. So turn, please, to Mark 8. Mark 8, and in verse 31, says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." So Christ would rise after 3 days. We saw from Strong's that the use of the term in Genesis was that a day was also known as a 24-hour period, which included a day and a night period. And in the creation week, we see morning and evening described as the first day, followed by morning and evening being described as the second day, followed by morning and evening the third day. That's in Genesis 1, 4 to 13. So three mornings and three evenings are three daytime periods, three light periods, and three night dark periods. So when Christ said, "And after 3 days we'll rise again," it must include 3 days, light periods, and three nights. Proof of his messiahship could not be achieved by rising before 3 days were complete, nor could it be longer than 3 days, because you'd be entering into the realms of 3 days and four nights. Christ proved who he was, the Messiah, a mankind saviour, because he rose exactly 72 hours, 3 days and three nights after he was placed in the tomb. Now, if you work with traditional Christianity that he rose on the Sunday morning and he had been placed in the tomb 72 hours earlier, that would make it a Thursday morning. So let's look at exactly when Christ was placed into the tomb. If we turn, please, to Mark 15, just on a little bit. Mark 15, and in verse 34. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So here, the ninth hour was the ninth hour of the watch. So that's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Dropping down to verse 37, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last." So Christ died just after the ninth hour, sometime just after 3 p.m. Dropping down to verse 42, "And now when the even was come," because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. So the word even here, Strong's 3798, opsios, and its definition is late or evening, either from 3 to 6 o'clock p.m. or from 6 o'clock p.m. to the beginning of night. So carrying on down in verse 43, "Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." And down to verse 46, "Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the tomb, which had been hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. So according to Jewish law, all dead bodies must be buried before the beginning of the Sabbath or a feast day. So Christ had to have been buried sometime between 3 p.m. when he died and sunset. And it was probably closer to the sunset end because Joseph of Arimathea had to request Christ's body from Pilate. Pilate had to obtain confirmation from the centurion that Christ was dead. Joseph then had to take the body and prepare it, wrap it in linen, transport it to the tomb, and then roll the stone in front of the tomb. So the only last piece of the puzzle to answer is the question asked by those out in the world. Well, isn't Friday the preparation day of the Sabbath? As we are well aware, as ordained by God and outlined again to Israel in Exodus, the Sabbath not only refers to the weekly Sabbath, but the annual Sabbaths, or annual holy days, and that the spring holy days are the first and last days of unleavened bread, also referred to as the Sabbath of the great feast of Passover. And the Hebrew calendar shows us that in the year Jesus was crucified, the 14th of Abib, Passover day, the day Jesus was crucified was a Wednesday, and the annual Sabbath was a Thursday. This was the Sabbath that drew on as Joseph of Arimathea hastened to bury the body of Jesus late that Wednesday afternoon. There were two separate Sabbaths that week. And carrying on from where we were in Mark, we're going to just roll over into chapter 16, verse 1, but we're going to read this one from the Jubilee Bible 2000 translation, because it translates it a little bit clearer. And when the Sabbath of the great feast of the Passover was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And we'll carry on in New King James. Verse 2, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So verse 1 had to have been on the Friday after the great feast of the Passover, when the ladies bought and prepared the spices. And verse 2 was the first day of the week, Sunday. So that clearly shows that the week that Christ was crucified, there had to have been two distinct and separate Sabbaths. Carrying on in verse 3. And they said amongst themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, verse 6, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. It was said in a past tense. The angel said to them, he is risen. He is not here. So, in conclusion, Christ said that he would provide one and only one proof that he was the Messiah, that of Jonah, that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and that he would rise after those 3 days. This world ignores Christ's own proof of his messiahship and teaches Christ died on a Friday and rose on a Sunday, which even at a push could only vaguely be described as 3 days and two nights. The Sabbath, which occurred directly after Christ's burial, was the first day of unleavened bread, which on the year that Christ was crucified was a Thursday. Christ died shortly after the ninth hour, or 3 p.m, and Joseph of Arimathea obtained his body and prepared it and placed it in a tomb for burial just before sunset. Christ was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights and rose after 3 days, exactly 72 hours after he was placed in the tomb. 72 hours after he was placed in the tomb was a Saturday evening just before sunset. No one witnessed Christ's actual resurrection, but when the Marys went to anoint Christ's body, the angel told them that he was not there. He is already risen, past tense. The fable taught by this world is just that, a fairy story, twisted truth into lies, just as Satan did to deceive Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. It is born in the way of get. The Pharisees demanded a proof that Christ was the Messiah. And when he actually proved it, they had to do everything in their powers to twist that truth. And that is why we have today the fable of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So we have looked at and easily proven that Christ did in fact prove by this one and only sign that he gave that he was in fact the Messiah.